Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Mission Minded Podcast. Our goal is to bring you interviews that explore outside-the-box thinking and carrying out Christ's Great Commission. In this season of the coronavirus, we are not in the iTech studios, but connecting with people through video conference. I'm Jim Tingler, and I'll be your host this week as we welcome special guest Bruce Van Fleet. Welcome back to the Mission Minded Podcast. Today, we are joined with my friend from iTech, Bruce Van Fleet. Hey, Bruce.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Great to be able to connect with you through the World Wide Web here.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's the way to do it nowadays.
Yeah. So there's a lot that I'd love to cover with you today, a lot of questions. And I know you have a ton of stuff to share, but for those who might not know your story, I know there's a lot of places to start, but if we could just go back to maybe how you got involved in missions and trying to figure out what God's plan and purpose was for you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I could start. I moved up to Jacksonville, Florida. It's been about 12 years ago. And I met my wife, Jennifer, and she got me back going back to church and stuff. And I never really thought about doing missions, although I grew up, my parents were always in the Helps ministry, and I grew up in a Christian household. So I knew about that, but I never really thought, okay, I'm going to the mission field. But I wanted to be a firefighter. I wanted to, you know, be an underwater welder, all these different things. I was trying to find my path and my career. And my wife directed me back to, what about piloting? You haven't thought about that in a long time. Because I told her I flew when I was 10 years old one time, and the guy called me a natural. But I never thought I could be a pilot. So I was like, well, I can pay per flight, and I could probably do that. I could do that. I can't get $20,000 up right away, but I can pay as I go. So I was like, I think that's capable. And then it hit me one day, and it was like, well, why am I doing that? Why am I going to fly? And I felt like God said, you're going to fly for the ministry. You're going to fly for the kingdom. And I was like, wow. And I started looking into it, and I was looking at AIM Air, missionary aviation, organizations and stuff, and everything started leading to where I'm at now, really.
So that's awesome. Yeah, our paths connected through iTech, and mm-hmm. Met you and your wife Jen. How many years ago now?
Jim, it's been, I think, over three years.
3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So iTech had a program where people who were interested in becoming missionary pilots could come and gain experience by working to get their A&P mechanic. It's a prerequisite for people who want to be missionary pilots. Basically,
that's right.
They want you to be able to fix your own airplane if it gets broke down wherever, right?
Yeah. You don't want to be out, you know, in the middle of nowhere in these bush planes and something happens, you have no idea how to work, or you don't know the systems of the aircraft. The AMP really gives you a broad spectrum of, you know, it makes you a better pilot because, you know, if something's going wrong, you can kind of pinpoint it in the air too, which is good. But you can also work on it on the ground pretty easily. And it's really awesome. Gives you a good base for that.
Yeah. So Bruce, you reached out to iTech. You have this interest in becoming a missionary pilot and interested in this program. And, you know, we thought you were a great fit, felt like God brought you there. And so this journey with working with us began. And so several years in, you're working, gaining pilot certifications, you're flying a lot, you're gaining some mechanical skills, right?
Yeah, that's right. I came to iTech with, I was already a private pilot, instrument rated. And I've been working on that for quite a while. And then once I got to iTech, obviously, Jesse Saint and everybody, they allowed me to, I eventually got my commercial pilot rating, And I was working as an apprentice for my 2.5 years of apprenticeship for the A&P.
Yeah, so your call and feeling led. I mean, you're passionate about aviation, but using it specific for mission purposes.
Yes.
I'm sure most people could imagine the need for missionary pilots, but maybe somebody who doesn't have an understanding as to why we need missionary pilots in remote areas, what role do they play in remote ministry work?
Well, I mean, if some of you, or if none of you, ever been out into the mission field, you go to these countries where there's a lot of poverty and like the jungle and Africa and these places, it's hard to get around on the ground. It can take sometimes days. It can take hours and hours just to get 20 miles. So as missionaries, if you're really trying to get something done with a village and you're wanting to bring the gospel or bring missionaries in, airplanes really benefit as a tool for missionaries, especially to get in and out of these places. Something that could take 20 hours on a vehicle can take an hour and a half in the air or less to get a straight shot to where you're going. So it really saves missionaries and humanitarians and people that are doing disaster relief even a lot of time, from the ground to the air. So.
Yeah, so I mean, remote areas around the world, places that are beyond roads, transportation's a huge hindrance. So being able to fly into places, I've heard, what is, an hour walking on the ground is about a minute in the air. So you
Oh,
could
yeah.
just think, especially in a emergency situation, somebody, gets bit by a snake, they have some type of complexity, they need to get out of a situation. So you could think of evac. But then also supplies, somebody needs something in and out. And then also, getting, preachers, different people trying to get into places to do ministry. This mission aviation is a great complement to that work. And so there's no shortage
Yeah.
of need. And so you're in the direction of feeling called to do this. And so you're at iTech, you're gaining this experience. You get to the point where you're and it's a 30-month program, right?
That's right.
To gain that certification.
Yeah. So yeah, 30-month apprenticeship under an IA, an A&P mechanic, which was Jesse Saint. So we worked on customers' airplanes. They come in. I've built 5 aircraft while I was at iTech for the very short time, experimental RVs. And we also worked on certified aircraft such as Cessnas and Pipers. So we had well-rounded experience with the smaller planes, especially that's what we use in the mission field mainly is smaller planes to get in and out of short grass strips and stuff. So it was a perfect opportunity to dive into that, to use aviation as the tool.
So you are several years into this process. You're gaining the experience. Seems like things are really lining up. You feel called in
Yeah.
this direction. You're gaining experience with the planes that you feel that you're going to be using, at least the type of planes you'd probably be using in remote areas. And so then there's this next chapter. What is this next chapter going to look like? And so you're looking and praying and talking to people, right?
That's right. We're, gaining donors and we're getting ready, for the mission field. Obviously as a missionary, you have to have donors to support you out there. So we are in the process of all the things that come with being a missionary pilot, right in the middle of it. And 10 months out of being finished with my A&P, I felt called to check out a ministry down in Guatemala called Paradise Bound. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but so I felt called to go down there and do a site visit and check that out. So I was on the way to do that.
So Guatemala, Paradise Bound working, has Mission Aviation as a part of their work. And so what role did Mission Aviation play in the work in Guatemala?
Well, I liked it. They did a lot of evac, so emergency evac, disaster relief stuff if needed, because there's volcanoes and there's people getting hurt and things. And so they did a lot of that, and then they did a lot of pastoral trainings around the area. All it's pretty easy to get around by plane in most all of Guatemala. So they used aviation for that, and they were doing it for a couple years, so they're kind of newbies in it. But it was an interesting place to fly, very rugged, so you needed some good practice with off-strip landings and stuff like that. So I was kind of intrigued at what they were doing down there, so I set my sights on to go down and do a site visit with them.
And so this was just about 10, 11 months ago, right?
That's right, yeah.
So you went down 10, 11 months ago and just checking out, praying, seeing, hey, God, where do you want me to go? And this seemed like the next step as something to explore. I know you were praying about where you might go and looking at a lot of different options, but this seemed like a great fit as a potential.
Yeah, I met Dan, the president of Paradise Bound, and I talked with him in person. And I really felt like God may be calling me down there. So I went down there last June, and I had an opportunity to take a flight with Luke Sullivan, which was their aviation director at the time. When he was flying, doing the pastoral trainings and doing site surveys for different airstrips in the area and stuff. So I had an opportunity to take a flight with Luke. So we took the flight with Luke, and everything went really well. We went to towards the Mexican border, and we actually landed at one strip, and we were just checking and surveying some of these strips that hadn't been landed at through the ministry yet to make sure they were safe. Noting down if there were towers around, and this, if somebody was flying in here, they would want to know all that information. So that's kind of what we were doing. Everything went well. We were coming back in the land. We did a pass over the grass strip coming back into where we had originally taken off. And coming in, not real sure exactly what happened, but we came in and Luke did a go around where we came into land and we were kind of unsure, so he went to take back off. And with the density altitude being so high in the mountains, the plane doesn't have the performance to climb as well, so we wound up plowing into trees, and we had a tragic accident coming back, and the plane caught fire, and I was able to somehow by miracle crawl out of that airplane and walk up the hill away from the crash site.
Wow. Yeah, I could imagine. It's a very difficult thing even for you to think back on now. And that was not a short chapter in the story that followed either.
No, I got burned and about 65% of my body, along with bashing head, broken face. I broke my leg. It was, everything what you would think a plane crash would be. It was a miracle that I woke up and was able to crawl out. But the last 10 months has been, I've learned what real pain is. And being in the hospital, I was in the hospital for equivalent about 9 months altogether, 8, 9 months. And day by day, just washing and these wounds and trying to get better, doing rehab and occupational therapy, learning how to walk again. It's been the most difficult chapter of my life thus far. And I'm glad to say that I'm glad to be alive, and it's taught me a lot about life and really who God is in these times, and how to truly lean on God in times when you don't think it's possible you can keep getting up and keep moving. It was a lot of a mental aspect to it to get better and get well. You have to have a good attitude. And like you keep saying, Steve Saint, I like what he said about people with wounds are looking for people with scars. That was me the whole time in the hospital. People would come in that were burn survivors and they would talk to me and be like, you know, you can do this. And it was hard to be like, oh yeah, I can do this at the time, because I was in so much pain and in agony, and at times I felt like giving up. But the more I pressed in, the better I got. And obviously now I'm here talking to you, and my voice is getting better, and I can walk around, I can hold my boy now. So all those things were true, and people with the scars really helped. So I hope to, you know, be that in the future for people as well.
Yeah, you know, the challenge that I always have is trying to make sense of these stories. We won't know, you know, how all this fits this side of eternity. You know, we lean in heavily to know that God is in control. He's working all things together for good. And you've had a very difficult year, and it doesn't seem like it makes sense this side of eternity. And especially you have, you know, Luke. Luke had a different story as well in that incident. And again, you know, a wife and children and one on the way, you know, for them, it doesn't make sense.
That's right. Yeah, I pray for Luke's family all the time, because Luke didn't make it. He got burned pretty bad. And I was in a coma, induced coma, for about 3 months. And when I woke up, I found that he had passed. So I didn't know that. So yeah, keep the Sullivans in prayer. They need it. And Luke was a great young man, obviously passionate for the Lord in the kingdom. And I would like to have gotten to know him a little bit better before this. So.
Yeah. So there's, again, there's a bigger story than we'll ever understand. And yeah, just be praying for the Sullivan family, as oftentimes there's a lot of support initially for things, but as things move on, there's still a lot of prayer and support needed for families, you know.
Real, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, moving forward, my goal is, I'm still passionate about aviation. And I still feel like I would love to use it as a tool. But right now, this, you know, I'm on medication and stuff, so I can't really get current to fly, although I would love to. So I'm going to start working on AGI, which is an advanced ground instructor, so I can teach people on the ground that are passionate also to use aviation as a tool for the kingdom, how to fly, because you need a lot of ground school for that as well before you get up in the air. So I'm really excited about that chapter in my life. And, you know, God kind of, you know, hasn't fully redirected my passion in my call for aviation as a tool for Christ, but it has changed some aspects of my life. So I just have to get creative, and, you know, God made us that way we're able to keep moving forward. And that's what's so good about us humans, you know, our spirit is still there. And I'm so thankful for that. And I do have a passion to help people, and it's going to look a little different, but I'm all right with that. And I have a slew of people following my story, and I want everybody that listens to this to feel free to follow and like and share this with the world. And we'll have more stuff coming, and you're going to see miracles happen in the midst of these stories. And it's going to be really cool. And this is already a miracle story. Me sitting here is just a God thing. So I'm glad to be here.
I think that oftentimes we feel that God is maybe not in that, the situation that you ran into. Like, where was God? Where was God when that plane, wasn't able to make that maneuver? And the faith that we have is that he was still in control, that he allowed that to happen. Even though that was a very difficult chapter, God does write difficult chapters in our life. Through the past year, Bruce, I know that you've been challenged in ways that you haven't been up to this point. I've heard you talk about the difficulties of just laying in bed, laying in hospital beds. You said you were a medical induced coma for 3 months. Just the challenges you must have faced. What did you do to stay encouraged in the Lord and know that this was still a plan that God had for your life?
I was in severe pain. A lot of the medicine, I couldn't take enough medicine to kill all the pain. There's just no way. And I would ask God, I'd have nights where I'd ask God, take this away from me. Where's your miracle? You're big enough. And he never did. There were times where I was a little mad about that, but I felt that God was there, saying, I'm by your side. I'm going to walk through this with you. Because he gave us the ability to heal, and he gave us the free, just like free will. We still have to. We'll never learn anything without going through something, Hopefully not this tragic, but God kind of taught me really who he was and how to lean on him through the pain, and every day was just a step closer to getting better and. I was encouraged by somebody told me, celebrate the little things. So every day I wanted to wake up just healed, but that didn't happen. But I would wake up one day and be like, man, I can make a fist. I couldn't do that last week. We would celebrate that. We'd pray about that. So it was those little encouragements that really got me through that. And that leads into all of life. You have to look, there's the broad picture, but you look at the small things, and you have to, if you don't notice those, a lot of life will pass you by, and you won't fully understand what God's doing. And that's how I was encouraged. Luckily, I had a lot of family too that would come and stay by my side. My wife, my boy, and my parents, they're always there praying for me, talking with me. And that really helped a lot too. So that's what kind of got me through to this point.
So, one of the big things, as well as you mentioned your son, being able to hold and play with him,
Oh yeah.
how did that feel when you got to that point?
That was just recently in the last couple of weeks, and I had dreamed about like I just want to pick my boy up because he would come into the hospital and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't play with him. And I just felt incredibly vulnerable. And just I didn't know, I don't even know how to explain it, but watching him grow in front of me and couldn't do and be a part of that really. But now to be able to pick him up, he's a big heavy boy now, so it's hard, but it just brings me so much joy to be able to snatch him up and walk him around and put him in a swing and swing him. It's a great place to be, Jim. And I just really appreciate these moments of healing. I'm still healing. I'm still going to therapy on a regular basis and stuff. But that's really what's gaining these muscles back.
Nice. So you still have a lot of scars, and I know that you've had a ton of surgeries. I mean, how's the pain level day in, day out?
Well, they base it out of, 1 through 10, 10 being worse. I was always in the 8 range, 8 to 10 range for a long time. Right now I'm down in the 3, 2 sometimes. I'm still on some medication, but slowly coming off. And I don't wear any bandages anymore. So that's a blessing. But just my skin, you know, if you get burned, your skin wants to pull in. So every day I deal with that, waking up, have to restretch and do all that. So I'm about a, I think average about a 3 out of 10 with pain, but I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, how can people listening be praying for you right now and your family going forward?
Well, you can watch this video and just learn about the story and just pray for me. Prayers go a long ways, you know. But also, you can follow my story on Facebook. I know that most of you have Facebook. You can type in Pilot Bruce Van Fleet, and you should find me pretty quickly there. And you can subscribe to our newsletter as well. And my wife and I now keep up with that. So we'll try to keep up with responses or any questions you have. And also, we have a website called goodworksworldwide.com. You can go there and hear some of, you know, what we've done in the past and kind of also how we got here through iTech and up to this point. So that could give you a good insight of how to get a hold of us and what we're doing now.
Yeah, and if they go to your Facebook page, have to be sure to watch the drum video.
Yeah, I have a drum called a hand pan, and I love playing that thing. I can't really play guitar anymore. My hands are a little messed up. Well, for now, I can't play guitar. I'm still working on it. I've played that my whole life, so it really hurts not to be able to. But I can play this drum, and it's such a blessing. So I'm gonna put more videos of that out too. Yeah, tune into that. I'll be playing that more. It's fun.
Yeah, you're a very talented musician, Bruce, and I enjoyed
Thank you.
the drum video. It's kind of like an island style drum.
Yeah, it's a steel drum. Kind of comes from the Caribbean style, but somebody in, I think it comes from Switzerland, made that in the year 2000. So it's a pretty new instrument. But the sounds you get out of it are just amazing and heavenly, really. So I love playing it. Anybody can really play them. They're a little expensive to buy, but really worth it if you like drums. So I would recommend
Awesome. So when are we going to get the album with Bruce
it.
playing the drums?
Funny you asked. I just bought a professional microphone yesterday. I'm making some tunes for my wife. She's going to put some ocean videos up, and I'll have that playing behind it. So you may see that. And we'll see how that goes. I got a lot that I want to do. I can't do it all at once. So be patient with me, Jim. Be patient.
Well, hey, yeah, no, man, look forward to it. And again, I appreciate you and the journey that you've been on. You know, oftentimes we feel that, you know, God's got this plan and purpose for our life, and we know, you know, this is going to be the next step, and then this is going to be the next step. And in reality, I don't think we could handle God's 5-year plan for our life. We could just couldn't. If we truly follow his plan and purpose, it would blow our minds at this point. And so I know he has a plan and purpose for you, has a plan and purpose for this, and that you are able, as Steve, you know, often refers to, that people with wounds want to hear from people with scars. And you have a unique
Got a
ability
lot of
now.
scars.
You have a few. You have a few. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for this time. And man, we look forward to hearing more about your journey as God continues to write the chapters in and through your life.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me, and thank you for iTech. Truthfully, you've done a lot for me, and I love being part of the family there. So, and also, y'all can. I'm going to be making a podcast. If you're an aviation enthusiast, do you, how would you say? If you love aviation, you can follow my podcast. It'll be on YouTube, Pilot Bruce Van Fleet, and I'll be interviewing a lot of different pilots and mission pilots. So you can, I'll keep you posted on that too.
Awesome. We look forward to that. And today, you know, the connect right through the Facebook. That'd probably be the best place right now.
That's
And
the best, yeah.
keep involved and up to date on this journey. And so, thank you, Bruce, and thank you for joining us for this episode of the Mission Minded Podcast. And we look forward to next time.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org.